On today's episode, it's teens versus adults as Abria Iyengar and I unleash our powers. This is The Hard Move. Hello and welcome to The Hard Move, a Powered by the Apocalypse discussion podcast. Today, my guest is Abria Iyengar. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell the listeners where they might know you from?
Dice-wise, you might know me from Happy Jacks RPG. It's a podcast on Fridays that's live streamed on Twitch, and there's also a bunch of APs, and I play on a couple of those. And next month, I'll be starting DMing a D&D campaign on there. So, yeah. Ooh. Yeah,
I always love meeting people who do both Powered by the Apocalypse and D&D.
Yeah.
Like, I write for D&D, but I play Powered by the Apocalypse.
I respect that. Yeah. I grew up, my first RPG system was D&D, so I will always have some love for, like, that very crunchy, kind of fibery kind of game. But, like, PBTA is the heart I didn't know I had. Until I started playing it, and was like, "Oh, we're just telling a story. This is great. What? Yeah,
yeah." Somebody, somebody at work recommended that I listen to Friends at the Table, and I started. I listened to like the very, very first Hyron episode, and it was just like, "Oh, this is what role playing games could be like."
Yes,
it's just so weird and open, and I love it.
Oh, it's so good. I have some friends that get some like AP like around it, just a little bit of paralysis because you can do anything.
It is weird for people. I think you gotta cut your teeth on like the more guided systems, to be honest.
Definitely. You
know, when I throw new, like I've done this before, people who have never played a role-playing game before, and I'm like, let's play Dungeon World. And then I say,
yes.
Right, the classic like, you know, what do you do? And they just sit there and like, I have no idea what I do. This is not for me. So I've swung back and forth on that pendulum, and I'm in the middle now where it's just like, okay, new people probably don't get thrown into a PBTA game.
Right?
So
it's not for children.
It's
I
not.
Mean, except for some kids who are very into this.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be indoctrinating my son into Powered by the Apocalypse games early.
Yes. And often.
It's going to
teach these youths. Get it.
All right. So, why don't you name our move that we'll be talking about today?
For today's move, I've chosen Unleash Your Powers, which is a basic move from the game Masks.
I'm going to read the move out of the book to give us some context.
Cool.
It says, when you unleash your powers to overcome an obstacle, reshape your environment, or extend your senses, roll plus freak. On a hit, you do it. On a 7-9, mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
Yeah.
So I feel like it is the hallmark of PBTA games to have kind of a catch-all move. And this feels like the catch-all move for Masks.
Absolutely.
And I think he even says so in that section when you're reading this move. And one of the most immediate things that I took away was he recognizes that this is more times than not the appropriate move. you really need to assess what you're trying to do here and then see if there's a better move first. So there's like a flow chart of moves and this is at the bottom.
Ooh, okay. I actually really like that.
Yeah. I'm a very like analytical data person. So I always look at things in terms of like, you know, in my brain it's like a flow chart, like, okay, I want to do a thing. Is this an attack? No. Is this a defense? No. Maybe this is just unleash my powers, like maybe I get all the way down to that. But
yeah.
Also down there at the bottom he says that you're all superheroes, so basic application of your superpowers doesn't necessarily require a move. This move has some very especially compared to a lot of the other moves in Masks, has some very specific requirements in it. Overcome an obstacle, reshape the environment, or extend your senses. This is not just, I want to punch real hard.
Correct.
And then you also pointed out that there is a really good contrast here between this move for the players and the adult move, which is called Wield Your Powers, which
yes,
I thought was really interesting.
This is actually maybe the reason I like this move so much is it's beautifully written. It's Unleash Your Powers. And Masks, if you guys didn't know, is a game of teenage superheroes. And I normally tend to shy away from games where I don't get to play like a full-blown adult. But I really like the idea here that you're a messy version of like the hero you want to be. Like you're not quite there yet. So it's not like I'm going to use my powers. It's sort of, I'm just going to throw whatever I have at the situation, which is why I like the very specific set of contingencies you have to use to like be able to unleash your powers with the overcome an obstacle, reshape your environment, extend your senses. You're kind of just throwing whatever you think you have at the situation. And I think that makes for a really fun narrative move and like a beautiful gift for your game runner to kind of play with how that works out based on your role versus, like you said, wielding your power, which implies like ability, comfort over time, and control, and all those things that you don't have yet because you're just a teenager throwing some shenanigans at an enemy.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't normally gravitate towards playing young characters. But I think what's different, what feels different to me in Masks is that they are teenagers, but the game is kind of subconsciously pushing you to try and become the adult.
Yes, absolutely.
So, which I appreciate.
Same.
Yeah, so we've already kind of slipped into it a little bit, but first we'd like to talk about how this move works mechanically. Obviously it rolls plus freak, which in this game is how weird and super and augmented and, you know, superhuman you happen to be, which I think is pretty straightforward why you'd be using that for this one. And then what I also liked about it was, especially compared to some of the other moves, it is also really forgiving. On a hit, you do it. Seven plus, you just do it. It happens. So there's a pretty decent chance that what you're trying to do happens, which I think, again, you're all superhuman. So this isn't about like whether or not your powers decide to fire off at this moment.
Yes. And I think this is also, sorry, just jumping in super quick. I really like, this is the thing I love most about PBTA is that there's no punishment for like a lot of other systems can be very punishing if you don't roll well. So I do like that. It's just on a hit, like you do this thing and like the modifiers for it are narrative modifiers. They're not like efficacy modifiers. And that's like very important to me. I really like it.
Yeah. I like that. Most of the PBTA games follow the framework of you're almost always going to do the thing you want to do. It's just a lot of times it doesn't work the way you want it to. And that to me is so much more interesting than missing. Like I just hate misses.
Yes. Oh, it's so frustrating.
You know? And I can't remember. I think I want to say Urban Shadows, but I think that's just because I've been reading it a lot lately. But I think there's a good section in there that talks about like everything you do forwards the story. There is nothing that just says no. It just never. That's not how real life works.
Exactly.
You know, when you take a swing at somebody and miss, they don't just stand there and go, "You missed." They punch you back. Their cronies grab you. They do any number of things. The status quo is a myth. It never happens that way.
Exactly. I love the fail forward idea that like you're still progressing. And even if you miss, you've learned something. And that like that lends itself to the like missing and like for every time you like don't hit, you get XP. A lot of systems do that. Like everything feels like it works towards like the improvement of you as a player character and your agency in the world. And I think that's what makes these systems so good.
Oh yeah. 100%. When I first Dungeon World was my first book that I bought and I started reading it and it said, every time you miss, you get XP. I was like, yes, I'm bought in. I don't care what the rest of this book could be awful. I'm already bought in though. Like hearing that was just the best thing I think I'd ever read about an RPG in my entire life to that point.
True.
All right. So the back half of this move, though, is on a 7-9, you mark a condition or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary. So what I liked about this was, again, we're adding a complication, but it's in your hands as the player. So you get to choose to just take a condition of your choosing, which the game does not often allow you to choose your own condition. A lot of times it's prescribed. You get to mark a condition. If you don't want to mark a condition, then you give the GM a choice. And the GM gets to choose whether the effect is unstable or temporary. And, I mean, if you probably both. Like, that's GM's discretion.
Yeah, the answer is.
Once you say no condition, it's in the GM's hands. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the GM response section. But the two options here are unstable or temporary.
Yes.
And I like that there's two different ways of doing it. Again, another thing I really like about PBTA games is it isn't always just damage. There are other things that are much more emotionally motivating that can happen to you and will happen to you when you don't do it
exactly. And as much as I love D&D, like, it is just point attrition, the game. And I do like getting to, like, flex my brain and flex my role-playing muscles in a different direction where, like, there are much worse things in the world than, like, getting a bruise or breaking a bone.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If getting punched is the worst outcome in your system, there's not a lot of room for depth there. There's not a lot of room for character growth, in my opinion. So
accurate.
Yeah. So
again, I really like the conditions too.
The conditions I do. Yes. That's maybe we should talk a quick second about that for people who are not familiar with masks.
Can you read off the I don't have them pulled up, but let me. Oh no.
I have the book here, but I'm not entirely sure exactly where it is. Basically, this in masks, you're all superhuman. So they've abstracted the damage. You're not really taking damage. When you suffer a great harm or when you miss on certain moves, you'll take a condition. And these are things like afraid or I think guilty is one or
insecure. I love that.
Yep. So and then these
angry and then one more. I'll figure it out. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. And these impose a stat modifier, a -1 to rolls for a specific stat. I believe if you're angry, you get a -1 to your fighting move, basically. And then there is a condition for the condition to clear it. So if you're angry, you have to destroy something or like really beat someone. Like you have to give into it to like pass over it. And there are also other moves that can help you clear conditions as well. But this kind of ebb and flow of conditions, again, really reinforces the narrative of teenagers trying to grow in a, you know, tumultuous situation. And I love that these things come and go with regularity. These are not like in Dungeon World, you have the scars, I think they're called. And those feel more permanent. Like you have to spend some really serious, dedicated time in a town with a healer to make those go away. And I still liked it, but I love that these are just emotional states and therefore are invisible, which can be really interesting narratively, but also they're easy to come and go. So taking the condition here, if you're in the heat of the moment, could be really daunting. If you're not necessarily under a ton of pressure, taking a condition is not the worst thing in the world. And again, all it does is forward a narrative.
Exactly. And I think it's really nice as a player to be given a condition, and it kind of allows you to shape how your response is to like stimuli in the scene at that time. Like there's nothing more interesting than like getting a halfway hit on something and you're like, okay, I'm going to take the hopeless condition. So it's a -2 to unleash your powers. And other than just mechanically thinking about like, okay, if I can't use my powers that well for the rest of the scene, it's more interesting to go like, what does it mean for my character to be in this scenario and to have that feeling? So it does this really interesting like dual purpose. Like it regrounds you in the idea that like you are playing a younger character that like is emotionally volatile and like super mercurial with how they are, like how they're feeling and what their well-being is in any given time. But also it's very good, like RP fodder. Like it's a little hook to just get you to like invest differently in a scene. And I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Like you mentioned earlier, PBTA games can be a little daunting for people who are not super outgoing or into improv, and having this condition come at you and say like, oh, your character's angry now. I know what angry means. I mean, everybody has a version of angry, but like that's something you can easily latch onto and be like, okay, my character is angry right now. So that just gives me a place to start. And a lot of times that one word is enough.
It is.
Open up and be like, okay, I'm angry, but I'm angry and I also am super strong. So how would, like, I would punch stuff and destroy buildings when I'm angry. So you're already yeah. off and running with a narrative about what your character should be doing here. So
absolutely.
And again, this move lets you choose your condition. So again, if you're interested in being angry at the moment, or you're interested in being insecure at the moment, you get to choose. So
yeah.
Again, even if you don't do well on this move, you still get like a cool narrative choice to make.
Exactly. And I think that's just as important as feeling successful in your attack with your unleash your powers.
And again, as we mentioned, this move is almost always at the bottom of a flowchart. So find moves that more specifically deal with your desired outcome. And also, basic stuff is not included in this move. You know, again, if I can see through walls, then seeing through walls is not unleashing my powers. But if I want to see through the crust of the earth, maybe that's a little bit more, right? So
always
figure it out. Again, more times than not, this will not be the move. But exactly to that point, always be thinking about trying to use this move, because when an opportunity does present itself, it will be golden.
Mm-hmm.
Which is maybe a great segue into our narrative section. And I wanted to start this section with talking about the example that the book gives for using this move. And it talks about the Nova, which is a very like energy focused playbook. And they describe a scene where a nuclear reactor is melting down, and it's going to be a huge collateral damage is going to be off the charts. So the Nova says, I'm going to absorb this energy into my body and shoot it into space. This is not a thing that exists. There's no move for this. None of what was described is listed on a playbook or in a move. So, and talking about what the outcome is trying to be, the Nova is not attacking anybody. The Nova is not technically defending anybody. The Nova is just trying to shape the environment. So this is a perfect use of this, because it is unleashing powers. It's going over and above the normal limitations, and narratively will have a huge impact on this story if they succeed or fail here.
Yeah.
This also plays really well into the concept of this game being a comic book.
Yeah.
You know, every few issues, a big moment will come up. The heroes, you know, tied down, and it looks like things are not going to work out. And suddenly they just unleash their powers in a big unexpected way. This is exactly that. This is that, this is that full page spread in a comic book where you turn the page and the guy just like explodes and cars fly out of the way and everyone's thrown back. That's what this move needs to feel like.
Yep. It's that super good splash art. That's exactly it. Oh man. It's so good.
And again, narratively, I think this move, no matter how well you do at it, is character development. You either get a condition and your mood in the moment changes and then you deal with that, or you do the thing and now suddenly you're capable of things you didn't know you were capable of, and that also changes your character.
Oh, that's so fun. Man, I'm currently in a masks game, and it had like, as good as it feels to like be a superhero and like have a cool fight in the system, I think the aftermath is always my actual favorite part of playing in the game. It's like that subtle difference between what they show you in the comic book, which is like all the cool fights and the dope splash art of like them overclocking their power and like unleashing it and doing something very cool. But like the actual living in that moment after of like realization that you are more powerful than you know, like those are all like really fun, interesting themes. Like that's why I really like this move, and it's why I picked it for the podcast, is just it unlocks a lot of role play potential and like interesting things to work through as a person within the game.
Yeah. And another big mechanical hook of masks that is very different from other Powered by the Apocalypse games is the way that your labels shift. So in this game, your skills or your stats are called labels, and those are things like freak, mundane, you know, things that generally would define your strength, your dexterity, etc. in other games. But in this game, those are labels, and they can shift, and they do shift often. So, and normally how that manifests is somebody who has influence over you, like the adults or your, you know, close friends or your teammates, they can say things about you, and you can either accept that as truth, changing your labels as how you perceive yourself, or you can reject them, and then there's a whole other move for that. So this basically tees up a label shift, almost guaranteed.
Absolutely.
you soak up all that radiation and shoot a beam into space, and suddenly everyone's like, whoa, this is a god character. And they're going to say that your freak needs to go up, or that your, you know, something needs to go up and something else needs to go down.
Yeah.
Like, almost inherently. Which is kind of a weird dynamic, because that's a thing that's happening to your character, but the impetus to start that move is kind of on somebody else in the party or the GM,
right,
via an NPC to do that. And hopefully you have a good crew and that they know this game well enough to know that the label shifting is an important part of it and will meet you there. But that's another thing that, for whatever is going to happen here, for better or worse, that is almost certainly going to happen.
Absolutely. And yeah, like you were saying, I feel like mechanically this turns into like, and like plus one into freak, and usually like a minus one into mundane. And sometimes,
absolutely,
like,
almost certainly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's a little bit about how to use it narratively. Again, as I just mentioned, some of the responsibility for this is on the GM, to follow up with it and play out what happens here. But I also want to take a quick minute to talk about the GM options here. If the player does decide not to take a condition on a 7 to 9, then the GM gets to decide if the outcome of this is temporary and or unstable. Temporary is relatively straightforward. It just, your effect doesn't last as long. So maybe you can soak up that radiation, but only for so long, and then the radiation's going to come right back. Or you're holding this building above you, but you can only hold it for a few seconds. And this is going to lead to classic comic book decision-making points where, you can only save one person, or you can only hold up one building, or you can only soak up so much radiation, or you can only break through one door and the other door gets to shut forever. So the temporary one is another great way, as we were talking about earlier, to put real meaningful consequence to this without just dealing damage.
Yes, absolutely.
The other option is unstable, and this one is a little bit more open to interpretation. This can be used by the GM to add consequence, collateral damage, or shift or increase the danger you were in to begin with. So again, maybe you soak up all that radiation, but you can't direct it into space like you want, and it actually gets directed into the center of the Earth, and that's going to change literally everything from that. So, and then also, this is where you can play with harm if you want to. And I think, again, that collateral damage, you know, you do lift up this building and you throw it away, but maybe it lands on someone or something else and you have to live with that. And then, you know, maybe that affects your, you know, your concept of how much of a defender you really are. And again, a label shift is almost certain to come out of that.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to note here that, like, this is where the GM gets to kind of set the tone for how grounded this game is in general, because, like you said, there's a lot of variance in what you can decide unstable means. And yeah, if you're going to redirect a bunch of radiation in the center of the Earth, like, the scale of this game can be phenomenal, or it can be, like, super grounded. It's the difference between, like, the MCU movies and the TV shows. So I think this is, like, the moment in which the GM kind of sets, like, the narrative tone for the game you're playing.
Yeah, and also, you know, there are the grittier comics where people die, you know, where innocents die, or that, you know, that plucky average character who just really looks up to the superhero and really wants to help. Like, you know that person is either going to get hurt or become a superhero. Like, there's only two like, outcomes for that type of character. And
accurate.
And it depends on how dark of a game or how powerful of a game you want it to be. Because some people want to feel those things and experience those things in a safe environment. And then there are people who totally justifiably don't want to be responsible for the death of an NPC. And that's, yeah. Guess what, guys? That's totally fine. You're not weird for not wanting to kill people. That's normal. So it really is just about like how, what everybody's bought into. But this is, this is one of those big, big moves that can spin out and really change things. And it's a great time to try something. And again, it can be temporary, you know, you don't have to irradiate the entire core of the earth. It can be something else. It doesn't have to be super, you know, permanent in that way. So I loved this move. I love talking about this move. When I first read it in the book, it just, again, it felt like that kind of generic catch-all that all PBTA games are kind of required to have. But I think through a combination of the writer acknowledging that and talking about how to get to this move, and also the payoff being so good.
Right. To me, Unleash Your Powers is the move that defines this game. And it's one, it's kind of the reason that Masks is one of my favorite PBTA games, for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, any other closing thoughts on Unleash Your Powers?
No, play this game though, if you haven't tried it yet.
Play this game for sure. Yeah, I just picked up an actual copy of it. I've been listening to games of it and watching games of it, but I finally got to read the book, and there's a lot of depth here and there's a lot of breadth here. You'll never experience everything this game has to offer through any one show or podcast.
Accurate.
So even if you're a little bit on the fence about it, you know, borrow a copy or find somebody who has a copy and talk about it or read it. Like, there's a lot here, even if you're not into the, you know, the CW presents superhero of the week shows, like, or like the gritty Batman mourning the loss of his parents. Like, there's so much more in here. There's so much more in here.
Totally.
All right. Well, is there anything you would like to plug before we get going? Any upcoming projects or channels or anything you'd like the listeners to check out?
Sure. Yeah. You can catch me on every other Wednesday night at Happy Jacks at 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Standard, whatever, Pacific Time, playing a Cortex Prime game of superheroes. So it's very close to Masks, but we're all adults, called Gene X. And on Sundays, you can find me also at Happy Jacks playing Blood, Blade, and Tusk, which is an alternate universe, like historical epic game of what if orcs showed up in Europe before the Crusades and how has that changed like the tenor of the world. Other than that, I have a couple podcasts. Check out Checkers Podcast and To Be Rebooted, and they're both very good and fun and can be found wherever podcasts can be found.
Awesome. Well, Bria, thank you for taking time to chat with me, and thank you for, you know, directing my attention to the depth of this move.
Thank you for having me. I'm inviting myself back in the future because I want to talk more.
100%. Yeah. Anytime you want, anytime there's a move that's just like really blowing your mind, you let me know and we'll schedule something for sure.
Perfect. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to our, what will probably be the inaugural episode.
Oh, snap. Hard move.
Yeah. I didn't want to put too much undue pressure on you, but I think this is going to be episode one. So looking forward to many more of these. Abria, thank you for joining us. And Definitely. Everybody, thanks for listening.
Bye.
The Hard Move is hosted and produced by Matthew Gravelin. You can follow the show on Twitter at The Hard Move. The intro music is by Nick Gravelin. You can find more of his work at nickgravelin.com. Content featured in this episode is from the game Masks by Brendan Conway. For more information, visit magpiegames.com.